Good to see everyone this morning. If you would, turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 23. Here Christ is talking to the Samaritan woman, said, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Seems like in our religious world today, it's a little confusing to figure out just what the truth really is. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Here you have the genealogy of Jesus Christ, beginning from Abraham. And we're going to look here at three different women who are in this lineage. Verse 3 is Tamar. Scholars believe that she probably was not an Israelite, but that she married into a Judas family, married Judas' son. And then over in verse 5, we have Rahab. She was a prostitute from Jericho. And then we have Ruth. She was a Moabite woman. And these women are all different. I mean, from one extreme to the other. And you have Ruth, and you think of how wonderful a woman she seemed to be, that she just loved Naomi so much, she just did not want to leave her. And you can just see her crying and begging Naomi, don't make me go back to my family. I want to stay with you. So she did. And then Tamar, we don't know too much about her, but Rahab, we know quite a bit. She wasn't a very good woman at all, was she? She was a prostitute, a harlot. But there's going to be something about Rahab that we're going to look at here in just a little bit. You may remember the scarlet thread. There are things in the Bible that are visual markers. Visual markers. Things that people would look at and see. And this Wednesday night, I'm going to teach class. And this is going to be your job, your instructions till Wednesday night, is to find visual markers in the Bible. And then we're going to talk about them. You're going to be involved Wednesday night. Go find things in the Bible that happen that people would look at and see. They can be good or they can be bad. It doesn't matter. Some of the markers are going to be parallels into the New Testament, visions from the Old Testament, and they're going to be talked about in the New Testament. Some of them are just going to be visual markers, and I just think it's just a good study to look at those. One of those is the scarlet thread. That's going to be a visual marker, and we'll get to that here in just a little bit about that. It's going to be about Rahab. What is truth? You know, I was counting up, and you can start at Dadeville, and within a 10-minute drive, you could go to one of 14 different churches. 14 different churches. And they're all different in some way, or they would be together. I'm reminded that when Jordan built his chicken barn down there, there was lots and lots of old tractors down there. Mom and Dad never had very much money when I was growing up. But Dad would find old tractors. Some was just barely running, and some wasn't even running. And he'd give a little nothing for them. And we'd drag them home or haul them home, and he would get them things to running. And my brother was just as good at it as he was. And I remember when I was about 10 years old, had an old Minneapolis Moline, and they decided they was just going to overhaul that thing, just tear it down and overhaul. Just one Sunday afternoon, said, "Let's just tear that motor down and overhaul it." Well, I was too busy shooting starlings with my BB gun to even watch them, but I wish I would have just hung around and watched them do that. And I remember them talking and laughing and having the most fun doing that. When Jordan built his chicken barn, all those old tractors were in the way, and we was going to have to get rid of them. Now, the ones that were still running a little bit, Dad had given them to George, so Darren, my nephew, got them. Well, we had to haul them out a quarter of a mile down the highway to get them on his place, just to get them out of our way. And I remember that old Minneapolis Moline I was telling you about. It was just too heavy. He didn't have anything with a cab on it, but this tractor was too heavy for him to really load it on trailer. So I said, we're going to hook a chain onto the pickup, and we're going to pull that thing down the highway. Didn't have any tires left on it, just the rims. But he took a picture of me driving that Minneapolis Moline behind him when he was pulling it. And he put on there that I got to drive it one more time. And we pulled that out there, and we hauled all of them out there. But I just wrote down here quickly of what tractors were that we had. On the Alice Chalmers, we had a WC, a WD, two WD-45s. We had the Minneapolis Moline. We had a John Deere. We had an International C, a Super C, and two H's. Parts and parts of tractors and whole tractors. And I got thinking, you know, religion is just a little bit that way. Some people like one thing, some people like another. Dad kind of liked them all. You know, he just liked all those tractors. And you could lay those tractors out, put them together. All the Alice Chalmers were orange, and they all looked pretty much alike. But if you could walk up to them and you go to noticing, yeah, I can see some differences now. When you go to examine them just a little bit more, you could see the differences. And religion's that way too, isn't it? Some of those tractors just stood out. That green John Deere, boy, you could pick it out from a long way off. You knew it was different. Now, Dad, when he would buy one, he would buy a manual for each one of those. So if he had trouble with the WD-45, he'd get that manual. He'd go through his manuals, and he'd get that one out. But you know, he could look all day through that WD-45 manual and couldn't figure out a thing for the John Deere. They was just different. Religion's kind of that way, isn't it? A lot of religions, most religions, are going to have creeds that go along with their Bible. And what that creed does, it kind of distinguishes that religious organization from all the others, and they're proud of that. Here's why we are different. And I often thought about those engineers when they were making those tractors. Now, I got to ride, mostly growing up, I got to ride that that C Farmall tractor, small tractor, and you would have a plow on it behind, and it would just, the tires would kind of spin a little, so you'd have to raise the plow up, get it to going a little bit, and then put it back down. Well, somewhere along the way, those engineers got to thinking, you know, people are kind of unhappy with that C Farmall. It just doesn't have the power. It just doesn't have the pizzazz, you know. Let's change it just a little bit. You know, religion's kind of that way, isn't it? Let's just change it just a little bit. Make it a little more exciting. And I can remember getting off that C tractor and getting on one of those H's, and I was like, wow, this is exciting. Man, I don't have to raise that plow up anymore. I can just go with it. It was just exciting to drive. Religion's kind of that way, isn't it? Some religions are exciting. Some religions are a little bit dull, I guess you could say. What is truth? I just wonder what truth really is. Rahab is going to be faced with the truth. So let's turn to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1. Then Joshua the son of Nun sent two men as spies secretly to Shittim, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. Now why and how did they end up at Rahab's house? How did that happen? I think a lot of times we just do not give God the credit that He deserves for making sure things work out like He wants. Paul told the Romans in Romans 8:28, "And we know God causes all things to work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose." You see, God has a plan for all of us, doesn't He? God has a plan. And I think those men end up at her house for a specific reason, because God had a plan. And I think, you know, God had a plan for me, because I look back and I think, I just almost missed it. And I hope it haven't been too disappointing to Him. But I do have the privilege of standing up here this morning and talking to you. He has a plan for all of us, doesn't He? I think He had a plan for Billy Van Hoosier. Don't you? What Billy Van Hoosier went through and how he ended up being here, we've talked about that many times. What Billy Van Hoosier had to go through to get back here to be a preacher of the gospel. I think He had a plan for Randy Worthington. You would be shocked at all the things that had to happen for Debbie and Randy to ever get together. It's just unbelievable. It just can't be a coincidence. I think we fail so many times to give God the credit. I'm wondering about Joy Lynn right over there, because maybe she just almost missed it. What do you think her future holds now? Looks pretty good, doesn't it? Looks pretty bright. I think God had a plan for her. I know God had a plan for Chris. Chris come a long way. But before God could get to him, He had to get these parents, James and Linda. And Chris will tell you this day, he is shocked that his dad ever became a Christian. But he did. He just became a Christian. He just said, "This is what I'm going to do." And that's been the driving force in his life. Now look at him. Look at these boys. I see the Drakes there. They had people come and visit them. And they could have said no, but they didn't. Members of the church came, talked to them. And they came, and I don't know how many years that's been, but you can probably count on both hands how many times they've missed church intentionally. I don't know if they've ever missed church intentionally. Sometimes they're not here and we miss them. But God has a plan for all of us. Every one of us should have a plan. Bob will tell you the same thing. You know, somebody kept bugging him and he finally came. His family. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? What about the Davises? God has a plan for them. First of all, to raise those three kids in the church. But He's got more plans than just that for them. They'll have lots and lots of opportunities to invite people. And what's really strange, we can invite 100 people and talk to them about becoming Christians, and 98 of those 100 will say, "Why? You know, I like my lifestyle. I think I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. And then out of that 100, there will be 2 that says, why not? I kind of like the idea of going to heaven. Just the difference in people. Why some grab a hold of the truth and why some don't. I think God had a plan for Travis. He'll probably tell you, like me, he just almost missed it. Now he stood up here in front of the congregation, said a wonderful prayer this morning. And look at his boy. God had a plan for all of us. All of us. And he had a plan for one of the most despicable women that was in Jericho. Rahab. Joshua chapter 2. The intelligence of Rahab just blows my mind. And her willingness to do something about it. Let's just read a few verses here. Verse 2, Joshua chapter 2, verse 2. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, bring out the men whom you have come to you, we know they have, who have entered your house, for they came to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the 2 men and hid them, and she said, yes, the men came to me, I do not know where they come from. Verse 7, so they pursued these men. They went out of the city and pursued these men. Verse 8, she went up now. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that the terror of you has fallen on all of us and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to the 2 kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And when we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, look at what she's been thinking about. Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you will also deal kindly with my father's house and give me a pledge of truth. And spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters with all who belong to them and deliver our lives from death. So the men said to her, our life for yours if you do not tell this business of ours. And it shall come about when the Lord gives us a land that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. And she said to them, go to the hill country, lest the pursuers happen upon you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterward you may go your way. Verse 17 begins what's going to be considered for Rahab the truth. This is the truth. Verse 17. And the men said to her, we shall be free from this oath to you which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourselves into your house your father and your mother and your brother and all your father's household. 2 truths here he's going to give her. First of all, you got to tie the scarlet thread in the window. Get all your family into the house with you. Verse 19. And it shall come about that anyone that goes out the door of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if a hand is laid on him. That's the third one. Stay in the house. The fourth truth she's going to be faced with here is verse 20. But if you tell this business of ours to anyone, and we shall be free from the oath which we have made you swear. So now, Rahab, you got four things that's got to be done. Got to be done, or the deal's off. Not three of the four, not two of the four, not one of the four, all four has to be done, or the deal's off. And her response is amazing. Verse 21, she said, according to your words, so be it. Whatever you said, that's the way it's going to be. So she sent them away and they departed. And what did she do? She began preparing. First thing she done, she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Four truths that she had to do. I have a question. You know, lots of times I ask these questions. Why does this happen? Why did that happen? Why do you think that it took a week for them to defeat Jericho? So leading up to that, when they left here, it's still going to be several days. Several days before, and they hadn't even crossed the Jordan Sea to go there. So it's going to be several days, possibly 2 weeks, before they ever make it then to Jericho. And then they're going to surround Jericho, and they're going to have the a couple different ideas here. Some place it talks about the people, but usually it seems like that's just going to be the military that does the marching around. You remember they're going to march around Jericho one time each day for 6 days, and then the seventh day they're going to march around that city seven times. Total of 13 times they're going to march around that city. What do you think they're going to see as they march around that city? They're going to see a visual marker. They're going to see a scarlet cord hanging out a window. I just wonder, that first time around there, how many of them got back to camp that night and thought, what is the deal on that scarlet cord? Why is that hanging out that window? Well, I'm sure everyone that knows about it starts telling everybody else. And I wonder how many of the people would march around. You know, it just really doesn't say, but you had the military. And I think, too, do you remember how many military people there was? Remember when they come out of Egypt? 605,550 military men, over 500,000, which scholars believe there had to be at least 2 million people that was there. So all the military men, at least 600,000 of them, possibly could have been a lot of the other people there that was marching around with them. You know, I'm sure they were staying fairly close to the Jericho, but wherever it was, they was close enough that all the people of Jericho could see them. I'm sure they was really, really close to that city because God wanted Jericho to see what was happening. And every one of them went around that and saw that scarlet cord. Wonder why it took 7 days. I don't know. I just speculate on some of that. Because, you know, when God told him to go to Ai, after defeating Jericho, he said, just go up there and take it. Just go and take it today. You know, there's not very many there. Just go and take it. We know they run into a buzzsaw up there. But anyway, back to Jericho, they went around that thing 13 times. Do you reckon by the end of the seventh day, everybody knew the story of the scarlet thread? Look over Joshua chapter 6. chapter 6, verse 20. This is at the end of the seventh day when they had marched around it the seventh time. They had marched around the thirteenth time. Verse 20, so the people shouted, and priests blew the trumpets, and came about when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, that the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city, and utterly destroyed everything in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox, sheep, donkey, with the edge of the sword. And Joshua, the leader of the 600,000 fighting men, who had all the logistic things he had to be trying to figure out and keep everything going and get everybody in there and defeat Jericho, he takes the time to say in verse 22, and Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the harlot's house, bring out the woman and all that she has out of there, as you have sworn to her. So the young men who were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all that she had. They also brought out all her relatives and placed them outside the camp of Israel, which is understandable, out there. And they burned the city with fire and all that was in it, only the silver and the gold and articles of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. However, Rahab the harlot and her father's household and all that she had, Joshua spared. And she has lived in the midst of Israel to this day, for she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out the land. God had a plan for Rahab, didn't he? Now, if you'll look back over in Matthew chapter 1, you'll realize that Rahab became the great-great-grandmother of King David. God had a plan for her. As bad as she was willing to do what was right. She recognized God for who he was. God gave her four stipulations, four things she had to do in order for her to receive salvation. Her and her family were saved. Not just her, but her family was saved because she was willing to be obedient to God. And we know she was obedient because Joshua spared her life and her family's life. We know she was obedient to the four stipulations because you can't do three of them and everything be fine. The deal's off with three. But if you do the four, which she did, her and her family were saved. God had a plan for her. God has a plan for you. If you're not a Christian, God's ready to use you if you're willing. You know, we have some things that we have to do. Christ talked about those things. The writers of the New Testament talked about those things. Having faith. You know, you got to have faith in God. Rahab had faith in God. She said, I know that your God is a God because of everything that he's done. The evidence proves who God is. She definitely had faith. You just need to repent of your sins too. God said, you can't just keep doing what you're doing and become a Christian. You're going to stop those things. You're going to turn your life around, change your life. You can't just have this attitude of, we'll all do things my way. No, God said it's got to be his way. And you confess his name before men. Be willing to say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's confession to Christ talked about in Matthew chapter 16. And then be buried with him in baptism. for the remission of your sins. Paul talked about that. Peter talked about that. On the day of Pentecost, they talked about that, Acts 2:38. So if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, God has a plan for you. You're just going to have to do your part. Set that plan in motion. God's ready. Are you? If you need to respond for any reason, we ask you would come as we stand and sing.